Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning, and thank you for your patience and working with us in this time of health crisis as we all try to figure out how to deal with the COVID-19 situation. We all want to remain safe and keep our social distancing, but in doing so, we get disconnected from one another, and so this is our effort to try to maintain a sense of being together, continuing our sense of worship and education, and moving through the Bible, being inspired with each other. And I'm just so thankful for each of you, and want you to know that as we move through these coming weeks, we want to do the best we can to maintain a sense of devotional time, Bible studies, inspirational time. We as a staff are committed to offering a series of devotionals from each one of us at various points throughout the week. So we really look forward to maybe expanding our sense of connectedness through social media and by videos. I want to thank Matt Snyder, our communications director, for his help in making all this happen. And all of our staff at various points, I hope, will be participating in sharing thoughts and understandings of biblical truths as we move through this together. For those of you that were able to hear Paul Wallace's message last week, it also was from the same passage, and we use this biblical character of Nicodemus and the encounter he has with Jesus by night. This very important passage from chapter 3 in John is one of those that is easy to kind of slip by, because in the third chapter we have that famous verse of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Often we jump right over the encounter that Nicodemus has with Jesus to that very important verse that a lot of us learned as one of our first Bible verses early on. When we don't take seriously the encounter Nicodemus has with Jesus, we really lose a special introduction to John 3:16. So again, I want to focus on this interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus, and like Paul Wallace did last week, focus on the fact that it takes place at night. This isn't just a time of day. It really, for the Gospel of John, represents something very important beyond just the fact that the sun has gone down and it's dark outside. As Paul said last week, a lot of very important things happen in the darkness. A lot of intimate conversations. The stars are visible at night. You see things at night that you don't often see during the day. So we don't want to lose that emphasis and go deeper into that sense of, yes, it was a nighttime encounter. But the Gospel of John is very, very careful to use imagery that deepens the message that's being said by words. What John does is use things like darkness and light, up and down, life and death, flesh and spirit, to illustrate something more than just the text. In this case, light and dark is very valuable imagery to indicate not just a time of day, but a state of being. What happens with Nicodemus when he has this conversation with Jesus is in part, of course, it's in the evening, it's after hours, it certainly is a time when maybe he wouldn't be seen by the folks that he was around, which, of course, would have been a concern. He's a religious leader, as John takes pains to say right at the very beginning of this third chapter. He's a leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. He's somebody who's very, very important in the life of the people of Judea. However, he also is clearly struggling with his faith. He's curious about what Jesus is doing and saying and being. So the encounter with Jesus that Nicodemus has is pictured at night, in part because it's after hours and he doesn't want to be seen probably by his peers, but it also illustrates a very important state of being. Nicodemus is in the dark in the sense that he's grown up with a particular kind of perspective. He's got a religion, a faith that he has found to be meaningful up to a point. And now, like many of us in our lives, he's come to a place where that faith that had been so good and important for him for so long, maybe, John is saying in this illustration of darkness, it's no longer meaningful to him. He's wrestling. He's hearing from Jesus something new and a little more exciting than perhaps he's been comfortable with. So he's curious. And we can say in this third chapter, as the story unfolds with his encounter with Jesus, his faith is now a curious faith. He's come at night. He's in the dark in the sense that he needs something more than what he's had. So the conversation with Jesus then begins to evolve, and some very interesting imagery emerges. So it's now not only night and day, or dark and light, but it's also a conversation where Jesus uses this illustration of there are things of the flesh and there are things of the spirit. And Nicodemus apparently has been really concerned about things of the flesh, as often all of us are, wanting to just do things that make us feel happy and things that we enjoy. But Jesus sort of charges Nicodemus with this challenge of there's something more, there's something deeper, and it's this thing called the Spirit. So in this third chapter, Jesus really kind of pushes this idea that I think the Gospel of John is consistently doing, and that is connecting this passage, this encounter, and the whole Gospel up with the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. And we want to illustrate this by reminding ourselves a little Hebrew and a little Greek. In the Old Testament, of course, it was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And in this third chapter, what Jesus is sort of looking back to and what John wants to emphasize is the fact that there's this connection that Jesus seems to be making with the creation story in the first chapter of Genesis. Jesus says to Nicodemus, there's this thing called the Spirit, and it's like the wind. And the wind, it blows in ways that you can't see, that we don't really understand, but we can see the effects of it. And so it is, Nicodemus, Jesus says, with the ways of the Spirit. The Spirit moves and blows and grows and prompts and challenges in ways that sometimes we don't expect, and it can be a little scary. The illustration is this beautiful word that I'm going to show on the whiteboard. And the illustration, or the word in Hebrew, is ruach. And ruach means spirit. It also means breath or wind comes in. It's from this first chapter of Genesis, where we're reminded of these very beginning words of the Bible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was without form, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Then the wind, the breath, the spirit, or the ruach of God, blew across the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the connection of ruach in the Gospel of John, Jesus, in this third chapter, the Greek word that is used here is pneuma. It's exactly the same word. It means the same three things that ruach means in Genesis. It can mean wind, as in blowing across the face of the waters, or in the case of Nicodemus, simply blowing through our lives. But it also can mean breath and spirit, a breath that gives life, that allows us to have a sense of being, but also this spirit, this something that connects us to God, to something more than we believe that we really are. And so it's an amazing use of these words, ruach in the Genesis passage, and then pneuma, and we use pneuma actually in English when we think about pneumonia, a condition where our lungs can no longer oxidize, give oxygen to our breath. And so pneuma means really this sense of breath, life, spirit, and it can mean wind. And so when Jesus uses this in connection with Nicodemus and connecting to the Old Testament and ruach, it's a really beautiful reminder of the very beginning of creation and how God brings into being this sense of substance and meaning with both the Spirit moving across the darkness and then speaking into creation this sense of light. So it's clear that John is allowing this passage with Nicodemus and Jesus to really resonate through the Old Testament and bring alive this passage in the first chapter of Genesis. So what we find in this third chapter with Nicodemus is this sense of a growing faith. So he's got a curious faith in the third chapter. What's really special about what happens with Nicodemus is the kind of mysterious beginnings. So the encounter in this darkness with Jesus, this illustration of Nicodemus is kind of in the dark because he's wrestling with some things. He's got a curious faith. From the third chapter, this passage with Nicodemus just sort of mysteriously evaporates. Nicodemus just sort of moves out of the picture, and Jesus moves on and says some more words that end with, or really culminate with, John 3:16. What happens though with Nicodemus is he doesn't totally disappear. He reappears in the seventh chapter. So we start with this encounter that he has with Jesus in the third chapter, and there's no real resolution to his curious faith, his struggling with faith, his conversation with Jesus. There's no real sense of, oh, I get it now. Oh, that's meaningful to me. He just sort of drifts away. But he reappears in chapter 7. So in chapter 7, what we see is another encounter, this time not with Jesus, but in the Sanhedrin. Remember, we're told right away that Nicodemus is a leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. And we find out he's a member of the Sanhedrin. And in the seventh chapter, the religious leaders are really troubled by what Jesus is saying and doing. Lots of people are following him. Lots of people have really become excited about what they hear Jesus saying and what they see Jesus doing. And they're very troubled. And they want to get rid of Jesus. And so they're talking about arresting him and maybe even killing him. And Nicodemus in the seventh chapter, in the Sanhedrin, surrounded by his peers, steps out and he says, wait a minute. This isn't what our faith talks about. Do we Jewish people just arbitrarily arrest and kill without a trial? And the response is swift. A number of his colleagues in the Sanhedrin yell out, are you too a Galilean? Meaning, are you following this rabble-rouser, this Jesus? And again, in the seventh chapter, it's interesting where we see Nicodemus now speaking out and clearly affected by what Jesus has shared with him and what he's seen and heard from Jesus. He doesn't follow up that condemnation. Are you too a Galilean? He doesn't really answer the question. But he clearly is sympathetic, and he's beginning to stand up for what he sees Jesus representing. So we can say in the third chapter of John, Nicodemus has a curious faith. And it's a faith that really is, I think in this case, lifted up in this gospel and throughout the Bible as something that's valuable. And those times when we in our lives have a time where what was no longer is meaningful and what is becoming a little bit troubling, it can be scary for us. And I talk to people all the time, every month. I have probably 3 or 4 or 5 people coming to me like a Nicodemus type experience of being scared. What I grew up with, I no longer believe. Am I even a Christian anymore? What does it mean if I can't believe the same kind of thing that my parents raised me with? And in the case of Nicodemus, I think we can affirm that this is actually a good thing. This is a valuable thing. This is a biblical thing. A curious faith ought to, for all of us, lend itself to a growing faith. And that's what we see in the seventh chapter. Nicodemus clearly has grown from chapter 3 to chapter 7. He's not only curious now, he's also strong, he's courageous, he's standing up for what he thinks is probably the right thing, but there's still no real resolution. So it's fascinating. John, the Gospel of John, very artfully moves from now chapter 3 to chapter 7, and then finally we have a reappearance, a final appearance of Nicodemus in chapter 19. In chapter 19, we find that it's not just a curious faith or a growing faith, but now in the 19th chapter, Jesus has actually been crucified and the end has come and all things have crashed in, and it appears that Jesus' ministry has been a failure. But Nicodemus knows something more. His faith not only was curious, it not only was growing in chapter 7, but now in chapter 19, we discover it's actually a living faith, that Nicodemus takes a very risky stance, and in spite of the fact that he's a member of the Sanhedrin, in spite of the fact that he's surrounded by these very powerful religious leaders, in spite of the fact that he has a status that he likely would want to keep. He risked all that by going to Pontius Pilate, who is the governor or the prefect there in Judea. And he's in charge of all the Roman legion that is in charge or was in charge of the crucifixion. Nicodemus, with Joseph of Arimathea in this 19th chapter of John, goes to Pontius Pilate and he asks for Jesus' body so that he can bury it in the appropriate and sacred way. And it's I think, John's way of letting us in on the fact that Nicodemus' faith that was curious, a faith that was growing, now it's a faith that's living. It's a faith that Nicodemus is recognizing with lots of others, this didn't work out the way we'd hoped, but we know something else is at work, that God is in control of this, that Jesus' life stood for something and his ministry still is meaningful. So in the case of Nicodemus, this living faith for me stands as a great reminder for all of us that our call is to let our faith be in this on this journey like Nicodemus was, this pilgrimage of being curious and searching for something more, allowing ourselves to grow in our faith like Nicodemus did, and finally to enjoy the beautiful gift of a living faith, one that says, I don't have it all figured out, I don't know exactly what tomorrow brings, but I do know that God is in control of all things. This is especially true now with all the unknowns of the COVID-19 and the many things that we see surrounding us, of things being canceled and people being afraid, and we don't know exactly what tomorrow holds. What we do know is God is in control. And this very important chapter of John that gives us this picture, this encounter of Nicodemus and Jesus that started at night, burst forth in the beautiful daylight. And we can say that Nicodemus, when confronted in the 7th chapter, they said, are you too a Galilean? By the 19th chapter, I think what Nicodemus is saying is, I may not be from Galilee, but I choose to stand with the Galilean. Thanks be to God, and may it be true for each of us every day. Amen.